Well, God bless each and every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ. Today, Sunday, September the 27th, 2020. And in these days that we are living in, you may have noticed that some people are getting more over-anxious or frustrated or discouraged, and you may have even heard people say, look, I'm tired of all this. When is all this stuff going to end? There's some people that are angry, some people are afraid, some people are discouraged, and some people are saying, I just don't even know what to do anymore. These are tough days for all of us, and for some, it's even tougher with personal challenges. And so this morning, I'd like to take a look at God's Word and see what He says we can do. So if you would, please take your Bibles and go to the book of Hebrews, chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. And in verse 1, it says, now faith, or believing, is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it, by believing, the elders obtained a good report. They, through believing, obtained a good report from God. And if you're familiar with this chapter 11 of Hebrews, God points out a number of individuals who believed God. Many times as you read through these different individuals, it says by faith or by believing. You know, by believing Noah, by believing Abraham, and so on. And you know, you can always take the time to go back in the Old Testament and read what these specific individuals did. These are examples of men and women who believed God, not only with respect to the promises concerning the coming Christ, but also with regard to the situations they faced in their lives at sometimes unpleasant times. And after talking about Rahab in verse 31, verse 32 says, and what shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and Barak and Samson and Jephthah and David also and Samuel and of the prophets. In other words, there are a lot of examples of people who believed God and trusted Him many times in very, very difficult situations and at times severe persecution. Let's read on in verse 33. Who through faith or believing subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions. Oh, that sounds like Daniel, doesn't it? Quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and in caves of the earth. And these all, having obtained a good report from God, through faith, through their believing, received not the promise. They believed God in their situations, and they believed in the promised Messiah, but they did not receive what was promised. In other words, Christ did not come in their lifetime. Verse 40, God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. Chapter 12, verse 1, wherefore, seeing we are also compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. You know, we have them as an example, all of these folks as an example, a great cloud of witnesses. So for us, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. You know, with such a great cloud of witnesses, great examples of people who endured. So in the race that we have, the life that we are living, let us run with patience. They had patience. They had endurance, trusting and believing God, and so can we. And our greatest example is Jesus Christ. Look at verse 2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, believing, the right way of believing, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. The author and finisher of the right way of believing. Despising the shame means disregarding the shame. There's the ultimate in endurance. He endured the cross. Verse 3, for consider him means consider carefully him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest you be wearied and faint in your minds. God does not want us to get weary and to faint in our minds. And we, verse 4 says, you have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. We haven't withstood to the point of shedding our blood. Look at what Christ endured. And you know, speaking of God's gift of Holy Spirit in us, the Bible says it's Christ in you, the hope of glory. We can endure. We have the Spirit of God in us, Christ in us, and we have a great hope. It's Christ in us, the hope of glory. And really, it's the hope that gives us true joy. You know, good times and good things can make us happy and content, but the absolute certainty of Christ's return, that's what gives us real joy. And with the joy of the hope, we can endure. Remember what God's word says at the end of 1 Corinthians 15? I'm going to back up there for a minute. You know, in chapter 15 of 1 Corinthians, so much detail about the return of Jesus Christ. And God gives us all this great information. And it's truly exciting. And at the very end of all of it, in verse 58 of 1 Corinthians 15, God says, therefore, because of all of this information about the hope of Christ's return in a moment, the twinkling of an eye, we're going to be changed. Corruption puts on incorruption. Mortal puts on immortality. Meeting Christ in the air. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. And before we go to Romans, I'd like for you to look at 1 Peter chapter 1. This great hope that we have, it's what gives us joy, and especially in troubled times. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, it says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again. We are born again ones. He's begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that fades not away, reserved in heaven for you and for me. That's our hope. And until that day comes, we can endure with patience. Now, that doesn't mean we sit in the corner all day long going, Christ is coming back, Christ is coming back. Hope it's today. Hope it's today. I can't do anything else. No. It means we stay the course. How? Well, we do what God says to do. Whether times are good or whether times are not so good, we still do what God says we ought to do. So, what does he say we should do? Well, take a look at Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12, if you would. Verse 1 of Romans 12 says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, this is to born-again believers, and I think you probably know that the book of Romans is like the foundation for believers. It's the first doctrinal epistle. And chapter 12 starts the practical application. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world. Better translated, do not be fashioned by this age, but instead of that, be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Don't be fashioned by this age. Instead, be transformed or transfigured by the renewing of your mind. Renewing is it's a renovation. It's making it new. And the starting point of renewing our minds is to put into our minds who we really are according to who God says we are as born again ones. That's where we start. You know, all those wonderful truths that we read about in the church epistles, all those rights, those privileges and abilities that we have as God's children because of the new birth. We weren't born with that knowledge. And you know, on a number of occasions on these Sundays, I mentioned some of those rights, privileges, and abilities. You know, that we are righteous in God's eyes. We're redeemed. All of our sins have been forgiven. We belong to Him. God is our Father. He sees us holy and without blame. He's given us His Spirit, the ability to operate it, you know, and so much more. Those are the things. The renewing, the renovation in our minds is to consistently put those truths into our brains. And that's what brings about a transformation. You know, in Ephesians, it's called put off the old man, put on the new man in our minds. And Romans 12 goes on to talk about what God has given us by grace. In verse 3, for I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, office just means function, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and everyone members one of another. It says we don't all have the same office or function, just like in our human body, right? The function of our legs is different than the function of our hands, right? Now, this might remind you of 1 Corinthians 12. We're going to come back to Romans 12, but if you would, look at 1 Corinthians 12. God elaborates on this one body. Going to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 4 and 5, God talks about various distributions of gifts, but the same Spirit. Talks about various distributions of services, but the same Lord. Various distributions of the effects produced, but the same God who energizes. And then he tells us in verse 7, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every one of us. And then he lists all nine. And then in verse 11 of 1 Corinthians chapter 12, all these work, that one and the self-same Spirit dividing to every man severally as he will. Reverend Cummins in the Working Translation has that as the one and the same Spirit energizes all these manifestations, distributing to each person individually even as he wills. And now we get to verse 12. For as the body is one, it's one body, and has many members, and all the members of that one body being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we are all baptized into one body. Boy, God just keeps pounding that home, doesn't he? It's one body, it's one body. Whether we be Jew or Gentiles, whether we're bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. Now, if the foot shall say, well, I'm not the hand, I'm not of the body. You know, I'm just a lowly foot. What good am I? Is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, oh, gee, I'm not the eye, I can't see anything. I'm not of the body. Is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? I mean, if the whole body was an eyeball, you wouldn't be able to hear anything, would you? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? But now has God set the members, every one of them, in the body as it has pleased him. And if they were all one member, where were the body? But now are they many members, yet but one body. You are very important and very necessary in the body of Christ. You are a very important, necessary member in the body of Christ. Verse 21. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, hey, you know what? I don't need you. I'm perfectly fine seeing everything. I don't need anybody to grab anything. Don't you love this analogy? See, in the first part, it was, oh, I'm not the hand. I'm not. No, yes, you are very important. Now, in this part of the analogy, God's saying, hey, look, the eye can't say to the hand, I don't have any need of you. Nor again the head to the feet, oh, I don't need you. No, 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 no. Nay, much more, those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor, and our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. For our comely parts have no need, but God has tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked. That there should be no schism, division in the body, but that the members, look at this, the members should have the same care one for another. Not supposed to be favorites. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. One member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now you are the body of Christ and members in particular. We all need each other. We all have different abilities, different functions, and we're supposed to have the same care one for another. If you would, please go back to Romans chapter 12. I would like to read to you from the Working Translation from Reverend Cummins. And let's start in verse 4. Romans 12, 4. Even as we have many members in one physical body, and as all members do not have the same function, so we, the many, are one body in Christ, and individually members one of another. Having gifts differing according to the grace given to us, if it's prophecy, then let us prophesy according to the proportion of believing. Or if it's another ministry, let us minister according to the proportion of the believing in the ministry. Or if it is teaching, then let us teach according to the proportion of the believing in the ministry, in the teaching. Verses 6 and 7 are talking about gift ministries. You know, they are listed in Ephesians. And here in Romans, not all five of the gift ministries are mentioned here. It doesn't say anything about evangelists or apostles, but he's talking about the ministry. So again, verse 6, if it's prophecy, you know, if you have the gift ministry of being a prophet, well then prophesy according to the proportion of believing. If it's another ministry, well then minister according to the proportion of believing in the ministry. If it's teaching, then, you know, get busy teaching according to the proportion of believing. Verse 8, it says, or if there is any other service, such as exhorting. Well, then you get busy in the exhortation. If it's giving, then you get busy in integrity. If it's leading, you get busy leading in diligence. If it's mercy, showing mercy in cheerfulness. These in verse 8 are just some of the parts of the one body. Not every single function is mentioned. It's interesting. Mercy, You know, mercy means holding back deserved punishment. Grace is getting something you don't deserve. Mercy is not getting something you do deserve. People with a long suit in mercy, people whose function in the body is that, which is mentioned there, if it's mercy, in cheerfulness it says, people with a long suit in mercy, they could care less about your past. Who cares? They don't even care what you did yesterday. This have a long suit in mercy with cheerfulness. So again, not every way of serving is listed here, but the message is pretty clear, isn't it? Do whatever it is you do. Sometimes people say, well, I don't know what it is I do. I don't know what. Well, first of all, ask God to show you what you can do to be a blessing and serve your brothers and sisters. And then, what is it that you do really well that comes very easy for you? You know, for some people, leading would be difficult, and they just wouldn't do it very well. But God wants us to serve our brothers and sisters the best way we can, the best way we know how. Do whatever it is that you do. And you know, that might change over time or due to circumstances. But the message is really clear here in Romans. It starts off with, you know, renewing your mind. You got to know who you are. And then do what you do. And by the way, being an apostle doesn't make you more important or more necessary in the body. We just read in 1 Corinthians that we're all members in particular. We're all members of the same one body. Every member in the body of Christ is important and needed, but we function differently. Remember in 1 Corinthians when Paul was reproving them, because some people were saying, oh, I like Peter. Boy, you know, I love Peter, boy. You know, he's got all those great stories about being a fisherman. I like Paul. You know, Paul. I like Barnabas. Barnabas is so cool. And, you know, somebody else is like, I like Christ. Yeah. How about I like Christ? How about I love God and His Word? Different people have different functions, and they have different ways of functioning. Look at the difference in functioning between Dr. Werwell and Reverend Gear. See, it's the truth of God's word that's important, not the ways in which people function. I mean, who knows? Maybe there were some people that didn't like the way John the Baptist looked or spoke or where he had his meetings. Their loss. It's not people who are important. It's God's word that's important. So here in Romans, it says, don't be fashioned by this age. And it's a pretty crazy age we're living in. Don't be fashioned by this age. Renew your mind. Put into your mind who you really are and get busy doing what you do. You are a very important member of the body of Christ, and your service is needed. You know, it says in Galatians, by love, serve one another. And now watch God's direction to all of us regarding what your function is. I mean, if you don't know what to do in these crazy dark days, well, here's something we can all do. Verse 9, let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor, shun away from evil, cleave to the good. Can we not all do that? Sure. Love without hypocrisy means we love everyone, right? Oh, I don't really care much for him. He's your brother. She's your sister. Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor the evil. Cleave to the good. Look at this. Be tenderly affectionate in brotherly love to one another. Take the lead in showing honor to one another. Do not be sluggish in diligence. Be fervent in the things of the Spirit, serving the Lord. And I really love verse 12. Rejoice in the hope. Be patient in affliction. Give persistent attention to prayer. I think I've mentioned this before on a couple of times, but this verse 12 is really cool because in between hope and prayer is affliction, mental pressure, whatever it is that stresses you out. It is sandwiched right between the hope We were talking about that a few minutes ago. The hope, rejoicing in the hope. The hope is the only thing that's going to give you real, true joy. Rejoice in the hope. When our mind thinks about things concerning the hope, meeting Him face to face in the clouds, having our new bodies, no more sickness, no more pain. The former things are passed away. We receive rewards. All of those things related to the hope. Rejoice in the hope. Be patient in affliction, the mental pressure, and then give persistent attention to prayer. That's a great way to handle the stress, the affliction, the mental pressure, the hope and prayer. Verse 13. Share with the needs of the holy sanctified ones, pursuing hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Really? Yes. Bless and curse not. Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. You know, a brother or sister has something really great that happens to them. Rejoice with them. You know, sometimes people are like, oh, gee. How come he gets all the good stuff happening? Rejoice with those who rejoice. It said that in Corinthians, we read that. And weep with those who weep. Verse 16, think the same thing toward one another. Do not think lofty things, but accommodate yourselves to the humble ways. Do not rely on your own intellect. King James says, be not wise in your own conceits. Do not rely on your own intellect. Don't think you're so smart. You know, what does God's word say? The wisdom of man is foolishness unto God, right? And the foolishness of God is wiser than men. Don't rely on your own intellect. Render to no man evil for evil. Make thoughtful provision for good things in the presence of all people. If possible, from your standpoint, live in peace with all people. Beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but give place to wrath, for it has been written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. Good, I'm glad that's in the book. So, verse 20, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him to drink. By doing this, you will heap coals of fire on his head. That Orientalism where the person will be just warmed over. Do not be overcome by the evil, but overcome the evil with the good. Again, we simply stay the course and do what God says we ought to do. Whether times are good or whether times are not so good, we still, as God's born-again children, we still do what God says we ought to do. We can endure because we have Christ in us, the hope of glory. And if you, right now, today, are at a point, for whatever reason, where it just seems to be overwhelming, difficult. Put God's word in your mind. Pour His thoughts into your mind. Remember what we looked at last week? What it said about God's words? They are life to those who find them and health to all their flesh. The great prophet of God's word to your life right now. And I'm not this morning in any way negating where you may or may not be, or what you're going through. But keep in mind what God says in verse 12. Rejoice in the hope. Be patient in affliction. Give persistent attention to prayer. We know what to do. And whether times are good or not so good, God in His Word has directed us, His children, what we should do. Just like all those examples in Hebrews 11, God can help us to endure. And I'd like to close in 1 Peter chapter 5. You know, sometimes in life and in situations and in crazy times you live in, it's Got to put the brakes on everything and just stop. Wait a second. I need to get back to what God says. In 1 Peter chapter 5, I know this is familiar, but verse 7 says, casting all your cares upon him, for he cares for you. There's that prayer. You know, the praying. Rejoice in hope, patient in tribulation, instant in prayer. Pray. Be sober. Have your thoughts whole. Be vigilant. Because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walks about seeking whom he may devour. For Christians, it should be very obvious there is a spiritual battle going on. And your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walks about seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the right way of believing. And that starts with believing who God says you are. You are a child of God. You are a son of God. You have been delivered from the power of darkness, translated into the kingdom of God's dear Son. You have God's righteousness in you. If God be for you, who can be against you? All those great, wonderful truths that are in the church epistles that we need to sink deep into our minds. Resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. You're not the only one going through stuff. You're not the only one who has, and you're not the only one who will. But we have a God, and we have his word, and we have his spirit in us. But the God, verse 10, the God of all grace, who has called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that you've suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Regardless of the times that we live in, if you want to be blessed, do what Father says to do. If you want to be stressed, then don't. Let's think and do what our Father says to do. And if the Lord tarries at the end of our lives, we can say what Paul said at the end of his life. I have fought the good fight. I have kept the faith. I have finished my course. Amen. Amen. Let's pray. Almighty God, our gracious, good, kind, loving Heavenly Father, how thankful we are to know that you are our Heavenly Father, and that we do not have to go through trials, afflictions alone. You have placed your Spirit in us. It is God in Christ in us, and that you really are at work within us to will and to do of your good pleasure. And your good pleasure is what you wrote in your words, Father, that we could have all grace abound toward us, that we always, having all sufficiency in all things, could abound to every good work. We are so humbled to know that you would promise to us that you would do exceeding abundantly above all we ask or think. Father, how blessed we are to have you as our Father, and how thankful we are to be a part of the one body with Christ as the head. And Father, may we love and serve our brothers and sisters. May we trust you for the help we need, and may we reach out with the love of God to bless others. Thank you, Father, for the hope of Christ's return that gives us the joy. And until that day comes, Father, may you continue to be kind and gracious to us, and it's in his name we pray. Amen. Thank you for being here this morning on this phone-in fellowship. This teaching will be posted on the blog today, and we will be back here again next Sunday unless the Lord returns. So until then, continue praying much for our country, continue loving people, and rejoicing in the hope of Christ's return. Have a blessed week. I love you, and may God bless you.